I have a little note here that says, please explain what exalt means. Just to make sure everybody understands. You know, a couple of songs this morning in the service, we talk about the word exalt, and I've had several people say, what exactly does exalt mean? And the word means to lift up. It means when it talks about we exalt you or we exalt, we're talking about lifting up our Savior, lifting up who He is, what He has done. And so if you did not know that word before, it just means to lift Him up and to praise Him and to put Him above all things. And so as we sing those songs this morning, especially if you weren't in the first service, but you'll be in the second one, I think a couple of the songs that he has this morning deal with exalting him, and there's some pretty good things. You'll see that. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. We're going to be looking. What happened? Do you know what happened to the old? Oh, there. Thanks, Brandon. There's our outline, and we're down to the challenge, and we're going to see that as we've looked at being a disciple and discipleship and the characteristics and what to do and how to do it, preparing ourselves and preparing others. We got to the challenge. We talked about it a little bit last week. And this is some hard stuff. I mean, we talked about this, that in our society today, there's a large percentage of people. George Barna, and I mentioned him in Sunday morning, but he does a lot of questions and research. And about 65 to 70% of people who go to church say that they want to go to church and feel real good when they come out. They don't want something pretty hard. Well, I hate to say that. If you're one of that 65 or 70%, you know, this study is going to make you not feel real good, because it's a hard study. We're talking about being a disciple. We're talking about living our lives for Christ. We're talking about the challenge that's connected with that, and that one day you'll stand before the Lord, and will He say, well done, good and faithful servant. So there's some hard things in this, and sometimes when we study some of these passages, we don't come out feeling as good, but we come out with truth from God's Word, and that's really the key. Let's begin with a prayer, and then I'll remind you of the three aspects that we're talking about under the challenge, and we'll get to a special passage this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this class. Thank You for the fact that we get to be together. And Lord, I just thank You for each one who takes the time week in and week out to come to be a part of this group. Lord, and I count it as a privilege, a joy, and an honor to get to be a part of this class. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we thank You for our Savior Jesus. We thank You that He indeed has given to us eternal life as a gift. And then we choose to live for Him. We choose to be disciples. And Lord, I pray that as those who seek to make a difference, Lord, I pray that one day we will hear You say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, help us as we think about the challenge and not losing heart and keeping our focus on Christ and abounding in the work of the Lord. Lord, we know there's so much things there. Help us this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to, you can turn, and I don't know if I even told you this, Galatians. We're going to look at one verse and then get over to a special passage that I mentioned last week. But go ahead and look at Galatians chapter 6. This is where we'll start. But we're at the end of the study. And probably either this week and then maybe next week, and we'll be through. And we're going to look at some other things after that. But we're in the challenge part. And I told you that when I originally put this study together, the challenge was going to be very brief. And then as I began to study and do more and more and put this together, I thought, I realized maybe this challenge needs to be a little bit more than that. Maybe this idea of what are we going to do with the information, the fact that discipleship is the plan. Jesus Christ said, go ye therefore and make disciples. That's the plan. We talked about being a disciple was one who loved Christ and obeyed the Word and loved others and was faithful. And then we talked about becoming a disciple. What do we do? Or, you know, what do? We offer our lives as living sacrifices. How do we do it? We lay aside anything that's slowing us down. We run the race with endurance. We keep the focus on Christ. We talked about preparing ourselves by studying the Word of God and being an example. We talked about preparing others by taking truth and passing it on to them so they can know it and apply it. So we've gone through all of this. We've now come to the challenge. And we mentioned it last week. I said that there are three things I want you to think about as you make the choices that you're going to live for Jesus Christ. The first one, and I brought this up last week, the first one is to not lose heart. That's number one. Number two is keep the focus on Christ. And number three is to abound in the work of the Lord. Those three things. So I want you to think about that as we go through. We started with not losing heart. And we said that whole idea that we have a ministry and we're to keep going. And sometimes when you serve the Lord, it's easy to lose heart. In fact, look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the verse we looked at last week. He says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Now, I think there are two things in this verse that we realize. One is you can lose heart in doing good. And number two, if you don't lose heart, you're going to reap. You're going to be rewarded. Now, sometimes when people think about the fact that you serve God, that you never wear out, or you never get tired, or you never get discouraged, or you never get disappointed. But what we realize, and the truth is, and it's a sad thing to say, but when we deal with people, whether we're leading people to Christ or whether we're trying to disciple and equip other people, sometimes there's hurt there. Sometimes there are things that don't go exactly right. Sometimes people aren't faithful and those kind of things. And there may be times in your life that you get discouraged. And you say, you know, I'm investing my life in doing this and this and this, and what's coming from it? Sometimes it looks like nothing. What does Paul say to the Galatians? He says, let's not lose heart in doing good. Because you can get discouraged. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Now this is what we're looking at, and this whole idea of reaping. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. We looked at this verse last week, but it's such a famous verse, I think we need to look at it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is the verse that talks about rewards. Because here's the thing that you got to realize, and we've brought this up, and I've said it a number of times, so you may be tired of me saying it, but we live as if it's not true. This is the problem. The truth is, the greatest thing that could ever happen to us is trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, and we're going to heaven. But the next thing that's going to happen to us as believers is we're going to stand before Jesus Christ. That has nothing to do with salvation, but it has to do with rewards. It's based on how we live. Because see, sometimes people say things like, it doesn't matter how you live because you're all going to heaven anyway. It's true. If you put your faith in Christ, you're going to heaven. But it does matter how you live, because how you live now is going to determine the rewards in your place of service and, in a sense, ministry for all eternity. Sometimes we don't even think of that. But this short period of time, and let me tell you, the younger you are, the longer you think you got, the older you are, you realize just how fast it all goes. Just like that. I got a call on Thursday, and my college track coach, who I love him. I just realized it's been 30 years since our track team had this. We had this undefeated track team, and it was 1970. And he had a heart attack on Thursday, and he's not going to live. I mean, that's what they say. And so I'm real sad. But when I started thinking back, it seems like it was only 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago that we were all in this athletic dorm. We had track meets, and it was Coach Riley telling us what to do. And he'd say in those days, get your hair cut, son. I mean, your hair. And you can think of him saying that to me now, but it was long, and everybody had long hair in the 70s, you know. And Coach Riley wouldn't let us have long hair. And we were mad then, but we loved him. And it seems like it was just yesterday. It's been 30 years. If you think that the next 30 years will not go fast, unless the Lord comes back, this time is going to go like a bullet. And you're going to think, heck, I was just 20, now I'm 50. That's what you're going to think. And you say, oh, JB, it goes much slower than that. No, it doesn't. And one of these days, you will stand before your Savior. And look at 2 Corinthians 5 again, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for the deeds in this body according to what he has done, whether good or bad, literally good or worthless. We must. It is something that will happen. I think the thing about this verse that is sort of scary is I've always been a team guy. I like team sports. I don't like individual things. That's just me. I like team things. Well, when it comes to standing before Christ, there's no team. It's not me and Brandon. It's just me, and it's just you. You will stand before your Savior. Now, once again, it's nothing to do with salvation. Salvation's a gift. He gave that to you by faith. He gives you eternal life. This is the rewards. Notice, we will all appear before the Bema, B-E-M-A, the rewarding seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed, given back for his deeds. How you live now, you will be rewarded for what you do. That's an incredible statement. You live righteously and godly and in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you serve Jesus Christ. He is going to reward you for that. You live in the flesh. You live for yourself. You just go through life. You're not going to be rewarded. And we're not talking about salvation. Just make sure you get that clear. We're talking about rewards as we go into a kingdom and as we go into eternity with our Savior. He said, we must all stand or appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed, given back for his deeds in the body, in this body, how we lived, according to what we've done, whether they be good or, and literally in the Greek, it is worthless. It doesn't mean bad like sinful. It has worthless. Because let me tell you, you can do a good deed in the power of the flesh, I'm going to help a little old lady cross the street. I want everybody to see me helping this little old lady cross the street. Everybody's going to think I'm a nice guy. I did a good deed. It's worthless. It's in the flesh. And one day, when you stand before your Savior, you're going to be judged for the things that you've done in this life. You're going to be rewarded whether they are good or worthless. If you remember, and I want you to flip there very quickly, we're just going to look at it because we looked at it last week. I just want you to see it back to 1 Corinthians 3. Just look very quickly. I just want to see, let you see it, and then we're going to get into this whole parable thing. And I know we've talked about it, but we just got to hammer it in there. 1 Corinthians 3 basically talks about in verse 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, he says there's going to come a time that, first of all, we lay the foundation is Jesus Christ, and then we build upon that foundation. Verse 11 says, no man can lay a foundation other than one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw. Gold, silver, precious stone, that's basically best we can tell from this passage. It's things done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wood, hay, or straw, it's things done in the flesh. He says, when you stand at that day, each man's work will become evident. It will be clearly seen, for the day will show it, the day you stand before your Savior. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire itself will test the quality. If any man's work which he built upon remains, gold, silver, precious stone, it remains. He will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, wood, hay, straw, he will suffer loss. Loss of what? Some people say, loss of life. No. You have eternal life by faith. It's by grace you've been saved. It has nothing to do with your works. You're going to suffer the loss of rewards. But he himself shall be saved, yet it's through fire. I want you to understand that one day you'll stand before Jesus Christ. Now, we started this, I just mentioned this last time, but I want you to see, there were four or five other verses we went to. We went to Romans 14, we went to 1 Corinthians 9 and talked about controlling ourselves, disciplining our lives. And I do want to say one thing about it. I think our society are a people of feelings. And what I mean by that is they say things like, I didn't feel like it. I didn't feel like going. I didn't feel like studying. I didn't feel like going to work. I didn't feel like going to school. I didn't feel like studying. I was late for work because I just didn't feel like going. We live in a society of feelings. What we've got to do is do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it. And that's why Paul said, I buffet my body. I keep myself in self-control. I run the race with an aim and with a plan. Now, let's see a parable. I want you to turn to Luke 19. I mentioned it last week. We did not even get to it. Luke 19. I want to give you a little background. This is right before one of the most famous stories in the Bible, and it's Zacchaeus and this man who really was sort of a wicked man because he met Jesus Christ and put his faith in Christ, he was a changed man. And he said, I'll even give back half of all the stuff that I've done wrong and I'll pay back everything I'm supposed to and I'll do all this. And it was just a great day there. From there, Jesus gets ready to go into Jerusalem. It says in verse 11 of Luke 19, and while they were listening to these things, he's talking to him, he went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. Now, I want you to understand something, that the kingdom of God, and we talk about the kingdom in which Jesus Christ rules on this earth, he came that first time, and he offered himself as king. The announcement by John the Baptist was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus even said the same thing, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He offered himself as the king, but they rejected him. Now, ultimately, the whole plan was that they would reject him because he came the first time not to rule as king, but he came the first time to die, to give his life as a ransom, to seek and save those who were lost, that kind of thing. They are thinking, some of the men that are with Jesus, some of those disciples, they're thinking, the kingdom's fixing to come right now. I mean, it could happen. Here's the king. Here's the Messiah. What's really going to stop it? You understand that after Jesus died and rose again and walked on the earth for 40 days, on the last day before he ascended to heaven, the very last question that the disciples ask him is it time for the, what? The kingdom. See, they look for this kingdom. What is so good about the kingdom? Well, don't you understand, in Revelation 19 and chapter 19 and 20, Jesus Christ comes to this earth and he sets up a kingdom. It says seven times in three verses that he rules for 1,000 years. He's the king. We're going to rule with him, or we're going to be with him. And this whole idea of rewards and this whole idea of righteous living now is going to tie in to how we live in the kingdom, what positions of responsibility that we're going to have, and all of these kind of things, not only for the kingdom, but for eternity. Because what will we do with Jesus Christ? What will we do for Him forever? Does anybody remember Revelation 22? What will we do with Him forever? We'll serve Him forever. You're going to have positions of responsibility to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world forever. We won't be on just clouds eating Snickers. You know, it's just not going to happen. We're going to be serving the living God forever. So Jesus, as the issue comes up and they're thinking about the kingdom of heaven is going to appear, He tells them a parable. Verse 11, He says, while they were listening to these things, He went on to tell a parable. Parable means a story. It's actually two Greek words put together, para, which means beside, and bole, which means to throw. To throw something beside is like to sit down a little story to help you understand the point. That's what a parable is. So watch what He's going to do. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. I'm going to help interpret the parable as we go through it. The nobleman, of course, is Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to pick up the kingdom for himself and then return. The whole idea is the kingdom of this world. Notice what he does. He calls 10 of his slaves, his servants. That's us. Whether we realize it or not, we are his servants. We belong to him. And look what he says. He called 10 of his servants. And after, He called 10 of his servants and he gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come. You know what he's saying? I'm giving you gifts and talents and abilities. I'm giving you spiritual gifts. I'm giving you talents. I'm giving you abilities. Now I want you to use them until I come back. Because I'm setting up the kingdom and I want you to use it. Every one of us in this room have gifts, talents, and abilities that he has given to us. So what happened? But his citizens hated him. Now, we're not talking about his servants. We're talking about the citizens of the world. And they sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to reign over us. And it came about that when he returned, you know, when he came to the world didn't want him. But he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whether the fallen world wanted him or not. He is the King. And so it came about that when he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered these slaves to whom he had given the money to be called in order that he might know what business they had done. This is the judgment seat of Christ in which you're going to stand before your Savior and he's going to say, I gave you this gift, this talent, this ability, this time, this. What have you done with it? That's the fastest class I've ever. That went by so fast today. How are we going to get through this? Maybe fast. I can talk pretty fast. Okay. And what did you do? And the first one appeared and said, Master, your minta has made 10 mintas more. He said, I used what you gave me to do more. Are you using what God's given you to do more? To be bring honor and glory to Him? To you be used in that way? Look how he responds. And he said to him, well done, good slave. Because you've been faithful in very little, be in authority over 10 cities. Now, the idea there is, I'm going to give you a place of responsibility. Now, one of these days, and it's probably not going to be in this class unless you have questions about it, but I talked about this, I think, last week and some other times. There is a difference between going into the kingdom of God and having eternal life and inheriting the kingdom, which is a position of responsibility and rewards. We all want to inherit the kingdom of God. That means rewards and responsibility. All of us who've trusted Christ will enter into the kingdom of God. But there is a difference. He says to this guy, listen, take this responsibility. You've done really well. Get authority over 10 cities. Well, a second one came. He said, well, Master, I got 5. He said, great. He said to him, and you too. You'll be over 5 cities. There's rewards for using what he got. But another one came and he said, Master, here's your minta. Well, I hid it in a handkerchief. See, I was kind of afraid of you, and I know you're exacting, and you're pretty tough, and so I hid what you gave me. I didn't use it. He said to him, by your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you know that I'm exacting, man? I mean, if it's true, if what you said about me, it's not, but that's what he said. And I did not lay down, and I reap what I did not sow. Then why did you at least not put the money in the bank so I'd at least have some interest? Why didn't you use it a little bit? Why didn't you get some kind of take the gifts, talents, and abilities that I gave you? Why didn't you use them just a little bit? Some kind of way. But he didn't. And he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10. And they said, well, golly, Master, he's got 10 already. I tell you, everyone who has shall more be given, but the one who does not have even what he has shall be taken away. Now, you know what he's saying? That one day when you stand before Jesus Christ, if you have not used the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you, if you've not lived for him in this life, you're not going to have any rewards. And you're going to be embarrassed. 1 John 2, verse 28, I believe is verse 28, literally says, you will be ashamed at his coming. We will shrink back at his coming. If he came right now, if this was the end, and you right now are ready to stand before Jesus Christ, would you be excited about standing before him and say, well, I lived my life the best I could. I took the gifts, talents, abilities. I tried to serve him. I wanted my life to count for him. I mean, I know I messed up some, but I want to stand before him. I hope he says, well done. Or, well, you say, I know I hadn't used it. I'm not ready yet. I'm not time. I don't want him to come. I don't want to have to stand before him right now. Where is your life? Right this second. We talked about it last week. Where is it? It's never too late to say, Lord, I want my life to count for you. We're not talking about salvation. Just remember, we're talking about those who know Christ and that we're going to live for Christ. Because you want to inherit the kingdom. You want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You want him to say, here, take this and have authority over this. Take this position because you served me while I was gone. That's what you want. Yes, right.
It seems like, regardless of how much we serve him or don't, that we could live with this regret for the things that we did that were worthless or just disappointment that we didn't do things right. So I'm just wondering if there's any passages that give us any indication of, are we aware of those things? Because, we all... fall short in some areas.
The question is, since we are sinful people and we do fall short, or even if we're doing good things, sometimes we do them in the flesh and we'll have that regret, and when we stand before him, there will be some loss of some rewards for sure. I think that according to the 1 John passage, it talks about abide in him so that you will not shrink back. The 2 Corinthians 5 passage, the Romans 14 passage, and even the Matthew passages do not seem to indicate that if he's saying, well done, I mean, all of us would say, I could have done even more, but he's saying, well done. I think when he says, well done, you're going to be happy. Now, I think the ones that are going to shrink back is when you haven't served him. And so I know that all of us have regrets over things that we could have done better, should have done better. But I think that this whole idea is when you stand before Christ, what is the general tone of your life? Did you seek to live for Christ? Or not? Did you use your gifts and talents and abilities for his glory or for yourself? Did you seek to live for the eternal things or for the temporal things? That's what I think is going to happen. I had Dr. Toussaint, who was one of my professors in seminary, talked about that whole idea of that we all know that even our best of attitudes, we're sinful people, and even when we're doing something for the glory of God, we might hope for a little glory ourselves. I mean, that's just as human beings. And Psalm 106 says, he knows we are just dust. He knows us. So I think the overall attitude of, do I want to live for Christ and do I want my life to count for him? And am I going to use my talents and abilities and gifts for him? I think that's what he's going to reward. And I think there may be a little regret in the sense of, I should have done more for my Savior. But when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, I think that's going to solve that. I think we'll go, all right. Going in, baby. Going in with a good place. Now, sometimes we act like that's not even true. There are probably some of you in this room that don't even believe that's going to happen. You think I'm making this up. You think, am I really going to stand before Christ? And am I going to have a place of service in a kingdom and in the future? And is he going to look at me and say, well done or not well done? No. Let me tell you, you're wrong if you think no. It's true. One day you will stand before your Savior. And we want to hear him say, well done. It's powerful. Yeah. Exactly. That's a great point. Why 1 Corinthians 9? Why Romans 14? Why did Jesus talk about it? And of course, Luke recorded in 19. Why the Matthew 24, 25 passages? Why the Revelation passage and the whole issue of the kingdom? Why Revelation 22 and the idea of serving him forever? Why would all this be in here if it's just, it's nothing? Do you believe that there are degrees of rewards? You believe that? Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, it doesn't matter how you live. As a Christian, it doesn't matter. Because you all get the same thing. Look, it's not communism. It's not we're going to lump it all. Here's all the rewards. We're going to lump them up and give everybody the same thing. That ain't going to happen. It's a dictatorship in the kingdom, by the way. But he's the perfect dictator. Never makes a mistake. Has the bell already rung? It did. Second bell? Okay. All right. All right. We're going to finish next week. I promise. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us as we think about standing before our Savior. That we want to live for you, Lord, right now. We want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want our lives to count for you, Lord. Help us to think through the gifts, talents, and abilities, our lives, and that we want to live for you. And I pray, Lord, if there's even some today that would say, I'm not ready, that beginning today, they will say, Lord, I want my life to count for you. Lord, for those who already have offered their lives as living sacrifices, are running the race with endurance and all of this, Lord, may they keep on being faithful. May they not lose heart. Because we know that in the end, we will reap if we don't lose heart. Thank you, Lord, that one day we could hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.